We've listened to three extraordinarily searching and often very moving presentations. And I'm deeply grateful to our three panellists for what they've contributed this evening. You've listened very patiently, so I'll be brief. I have 4 points and a quotation. The first point is to pick up something that has been around in several of the presentations and came very much into focus in Professor Singh's remarks. We need to be honest about the realities of religion, not imposing our own understanding of what religion might be on others. And that's something important for government agencies to be aware of. It's important for us as people of faith as well. Part of that, I think, from the point of view of government agencies, is recognizing the very fundamental fact that for the vast majority of the world's population, religion is not a leisure activity added on to the other things that we do. It's not something that has to find a place somewhere in an overcrowded schedule. It is rather that which fundamentally shapes everything about us, including our family and our community life. To enter on relationships and negotiations with religious communities on the assumption that this is some sort of leisure activity is to condemn yourself to futility. So I'm very glad to hear that emphasis on recognizing what religion actually is in all its diversity. But of course, it's also a reminder that for quite a lot of the world's population, leisure activity is in any case a rather remote concept. The distinctive modern Western approach to religion as an eccentric hobby presupposes leisure, an attitude to choice, an attitude to social power, which simply fails to connect with the human experience of most of our fellow human beings. But if we are going to be honest about what religion really is, we have to be honest, as again Professor Singh reminded us, we have to be honest about a second area, which is the failure of religion and religious institutions. It's important to be candid about the fact that mere religious profession doesn't automatically deliver better development results. What makes that true? All kinds of things, sometimes prejudice, sometimes sheer lack of capacity. But that is an area where we hope, in the partnership we're celebrating this evening, we hope to do better. And it's important in that context to pick up, again, a significant theme in the research we've heard about, which says that religious communities, faith-related organisations, are often very good at emergencies, but not very good at the long term. That really, seriously, ought not to be the case. Because if there is one thing that religious bodies ought to be committed to, it's the long term. We don't have to look to the next electoral cycle. We don't even have to look to the next newspaper editorial. We are here as religious bodies not because we have chosen to set up a project of some kind, but because we believe we are responding to the call of an unchanging, eternal truth, and to the claim of that unchanging eternal truth upon us, which means we ought to be invested in the long-term perspective more, not less, than others. And I hope that challenge will stick with us from what we've heard this evening, because it does seem to me that it's a crucial one. A third point to pick up from what we've heard, and that is the strong emphasis in Dr. de Nunez's paper on relationality. We often work with the idea that basic to our identity is some little individual hard core, and that that little individual hard core negotiates its relationships with lots of other little individual billiard balls. Somewhere outside the sum total of little human billiard balls is a neutral wasteland in which we look around for what will make the little billiard balls safer and more comfortable, called the environment. If we're going to talk about relationality, we're challenged to remember that what is basic to us is not some little individual billiard ball. It is our embeddedness in a world where constantly life is being exchanged, an environment which is our life, not simply a neutral backdrop, a neighbour who is our life, not just a competitor, another little billiard ball. We live in the midst of an exchange of life. Relationality is what comes first. And that is the biggest challenge to us as religious individuals, but also to us as citizens of a world where the billiard ball model is really very popular still. So I hope that we hang on to that challenge as well. Not just to the long-term perspective, which is intrinsic to the nature of faith, but to the relational perspective, which is no less intrinsic to it. A perspective of relation not just with other human beings, but with creation itself as a whole. And that touches on the fourth and final point I wanted to pick up. A point stressed by all our speakers, a point which I think is at the very heart of all that we as people of faith might want to say here. And that is that this call, this opportunity of cooperating in the work of development and transformation has to do with dignity. The dignity that is conferred on human beings in creation, not as a power to exploit, not as unilateral dominance over others or over the environment, but a dignity that comes from the human reflection of eternal beauty. It's the absence, the felt absence of that dignity that generates the sense of shame which Fouad spoke about so very movingly in his account of looking into the eyes or failing to look into the eyes of those in poverty. The sense that someone is not giving the honour and respect that is due, that someone is unable to give to others the honour and respect that they should, that someone is somehow living beneath the standard of human dignity that ought to be taken for granted. And to restore dignity to people is also, as we so often say in discussions these days of development, discussion today of development issues, to restore dignity is to restore to somebody the dignity of being able to give, not just to receive. And in what was said by Fouad about the mutual gift and exchange that happens when those engaged in development work truly listen to and learn from those they work with, that is about dignity, I believe. So, honesty about religion, its pluses and its minuses, its varieties, its challenges. The long-term perspective, relationality, dignity. All of these things are, you might say, pressing in from the margins of this excellent DFID document. These are the things we want to say into the discussion, I hope and trust. These are the matters of conversation we want to pursue and want to insist on as this relationship develops. But I want to end, as I said, with a quotation. It came to my mind as I heard Dr. Dinola talk about Dorothy Day, as I've recently finished reading the recently published journals of that great saint and prophet, Dorothy Day. One of her favourite sayings, and you'll find it repeated again and again in her journals, is, "We love God precisely as much as we love the person we love least." In other words, we cannot claim to love God any more than the person to whom we are giving the least we give. We are constantly challenged to express and explore our love of God by increasing the love we show to the least attractive, the least accessible, the least obvious person. We love God as much as the person we love the least. I hope that that will run through our continuing reflection and discussion of these issues. And I want to say again how very grateful I am for the excellent and challenging presentations we've heard this evening, for the work that has been done in producing the document that we launched this evening. And I want to express my appreciation also for the work done by so many of you in taking this vision forward with such courage and energy. Thank you for being here.